A few days after Momin turned 13, his dad told him to pack a bag. Momin said goodbye to his village and rode 3 days on a bus until he got here, to the Kurangi, a sprawling industrial zone to the east of Karachi City. It was the first time he'd seen the ocean or a traffic jam. Motorcycles and horse-drawn pushcarts dodged shopkeepers and laborers on foot.
I
stayed indoors that very day because I was a little scared of getting out on the streets and getting lost or getting kidnapped.
That was 4 years ago. Now, Momin's used to his morning commute. He kind of glides through the streets in traditional white dress, half smiling as he picks his way over tufts of animal fur. The fur is white and brown and black and covers the dirt road like leaves after a storm. The air smells like a dead dog in the road, he says, but the smell is on every road he goes down.
When I did smell that, I felt like puking for 2-3 days. Although if you see, most of the Kurangi has a lot of trash all around, the smell becomes a part of the life and we get used to it.
We walk along a black canal. Momin warns me not to get too close.
I have been told by people that it is dangerous and it has acid in it and it can burn you, but I really do not know about it.
What's that sound? That
yeah, timing.
Timing? It's time to get back to work.
We come to the factory gate. A cart loaded with animal skins pushes past us. Momin and the skins enter the factory. Momin heads to his station. I visit his boss, Shabir Ahmad. Shabir has big cheeks and some gray hair. I find him holding up a scrap of leather next to a jacket. He's trying to match the texture, he says, with skins imported from all over the world.
We import from New Zealand, Australia, Saudi, Somalia.
This factory is turning those skins into identical brown bomber jackets destined for Canada.
There's a lot of people's effort behind this one jacket.
Tanning is a messy, dangerous, and labor-intensive work. That's why so many countries send their hides here to be processed.
The operator puts the chemical on it, and this guy just picks it up and puts it on it. That's about it.
Momin stands next to a pile of nearly finished leather. He picks up each piece and lays it flat on the belt. The skins pass under a machine that sprays them with dye. When he works his way through that pile, he gets more skins.
That's the whole work.
That's the whole work.
It's the job he's done 6 days a week for 4 years. His boss, Shabir, says he doesn't have much else to look forward to.
People get old over here in these factories only, and they don't really change or they don't really become anything better.
How long many years do they have usually?
Until he's healthy.
Until he's healthy, Shabir says. About 22 years, on average. Factory chemicals are toxic. Asthma is common, especially in workers that started young, like Momin. So is cancer. And unlike Shabir, his manager, Momin can't go to the window for fresh air when he feels queasy. He may never have that sort of privilege. Karachi's leather industry isn't booming the way it was a decade ago. It's harder for new arrivals to get ahead, with so many willing to replace them. At lunchtime, I follow Momin back to the room he rents with his older brother, his uncles and cousins. They sit on the floor, sharing a bowl of lentils with flatbread. I ask him about his work.
Here you are, you speak three languages, you're a bright guy. Is this very boring work for you?
There's a discussion, and then my translator shrugs his shoulders.
The meaning of boredom, he doesn't get it.
Momin doesn't know the word for boredom. It's just not something he thinks about.
Your life seems so hard, and yet when you talk, you're able to smile. Why is that?
Most of the people are better off than me, so I usually don't want to smile, but that's all I can do. I can just smile, and I have this smile that is mine.
The call sounds to afternoon prayer. Momin and his housemates hurry to finish their meals. After lunch, the boys head back to work. Momin's brother, Nurula, works at a different factory where the raw skins are scraped, cleaned, and dried. His job is to wipe blue acid on the hides when they come in. Like turpentine, the acid separates the skin from its fur. He gets paid by the hide, and sometimes he works too quickly. His legs and arms are scarred with acid burns. The next day is Sunday, Momin's day off. Every few Sundays, Momin will call his father back in the village. He uses their group cell phone. They speak in Pashto.
Hello, assalamu alaikum. Kaka sangai. Wada khadi.
How are you? Momin asks his dad. Fine, how are you? It's not much, but Momin's grinning. And then his father makes a request. I'm getting old, his father says. I want to go on the Hajj. The Hajj is the pilgrimage to Saudi Arabia that all Muslims are commanded to do. Momin's smile fades. The Hajj would cost about $3,000. Momin only saves about 60 bucks a month. And that all goes toward family debts. Momin himself doesn't even own a toothbrush. He hasn't visited home in almost 2 years.
How will I go home if I have to keep paying somebody? And that's what I usually do, end up doing. I keep paying people the money that somebody from my family owes.
Sunday is also the day when Momin plays his weekly game of cricket. I follow him past the outdoor billiard hall to a dusty clearing among shrubs. Suddenly, Momin grabs my hand. He leads me away from the cricket game, up a little hill. Up here, you can see the Karachi skyline. The city sprawls for miles, but Momin points down at a donkey grazing in a field. I come here every Sunday, Momin tells me.
But why? Why do you like to come here?
Yeah,
it looks like his village, he says. Even the crops are the same.
The wheat would have grown over there and vegetables grow over there. Mostly similar stuff.
We stand there a moment, quiet. And then Momin turns and runs down to the game.
Come on,
it's getting late, and there's only a few hours before sunset left to play.
Come on.